There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Inside the 1 a.m. hour on the Fan in New York, KM to 2 a.m., talking sports and just letting it rip quickly here. I think in the next 2 days, I'll have 5 hour KM to AMs. I know there's definitely one coming up here Tuesday, November 5th. I'll try my best to keep some of you distracted for 5 hours between 7 p.m. and midnight. And yeah, before the break, I was talking about Malik Nabers. I just think it's crazy that we go from Malik Nabers is a generational talent. Malik Nabers is the best wide receiver the Giants have ever had. Malik Nabers is going to be better than 95% of the receivers that he's on the field with. Malik Nabers is a dog. Malik Nabers is going to dominate. Malik Nabers is going to replace Saquon. I don't know if you guys went that far, but there was a lot of Malik Nabers coming out of camp talking about practice. Malik Nabers wears a jersey number that was retired. So much hype around this guy that they actually allowed him to contact the family and unretire the jersey, which is cool. It is what it is. So there's a couple things that people are making a fuss about with this kid. And I mean, you know, when you're in the position he's in, you can't do wrong. You can't do right. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you go to the Travis Scott concert in your building, they got something to say about it. Fiend. I would have went too. I almost went myself. I'm washed now. I got a whole kid, wife. I can't do those things. But, I mean, I would have loved to go to that concert. I had no problem with him going to that concert. I had no problem with him seeing his homeboy that he went to war with. Quarterbacks and receivers, like to the level of a Jaden Daniels and Malik Nabers. It hasn't even been a calendar year since they've been separated. Like, that bond that they have is forever. He's going to always see his dude, and it does not matter what jerseys they're wearing, division rivals, anything like that. It's funny. Remember that they had a bet on for maybe like a week, not even, of who would win what rookie of the year? I think Nabers called off that $10,000 bet. It's going to be Jaden Daniels. And so when I see these videos of them talking during the game and even pregame, a big hug. And, you know, in the middle of the game, catching up, that's his man. That's like his actual real-life brother. Would you ignore your brother if you were wearing a Papa John's uniform and he was wearing Domino's? You understand what I'm saying? Let's play the audio that's getting people's panties in a bunch. Oh, this rookie can't say that. Let's play the audio. Malik Nabers was asked what he thought of Jaden Daniels. Oh, no, that's another quote. Malik Nabers was asked, I don't know if I have the question here. He was asked about the play calling. Let's see if I have the right audio queued up, Fleeks. I might have sent you to the wrong one. Run in and I'll respond.
What do you think of how he played?
How I know he played. Nothing different. I mean, needs his team to win. He's going to do that every time he steps on the field.
So he's talking well on his quarterback, his former quarterback. Now, I don't have the quote here, but or the audio here, but I have the quote here about, you know, him talking, I guess, about Brian Daboll. People took it the wrong way. He says, I don't call the plays. So, I mean, I don't know. When you run the clock out in the first half, you're scratching in the second half to try to score points, as many as possible. As an offense, you've got to be versatile. You've got to be able to run. You've got to be able to pass. You can't pick between half and half and what you want to do. But like I said, I'm not the play caller. So I think people took that the wrong way. And I understand, but I also don't understand because, like I said, this is a guy that you picked number 6 overall. This is a guy that everybody praised as the, you know, new Jerry Rice. They unretired a jersey for him. They asked him a question about the play calling. So if you feel like he's throwing Brian Daboll under the bus or maybe he's revealing too much, because what it sounded like to me is like they had a plan to run the ball and it was effective in the first half. And like I laughed when I saw Daniel Jones had -8 passing yards, 1 touchdown. He was 4 for 6 with 0 yards and a touchdown, 109.7 passer rating. Anyway, let's get back to the phones, talk to the Giants fans about Malik Nabers, about Daniel Jones. I just think you gotta give this kid Malik Nabers a break. He's not going anywhere. And when you do get a quarterback next year, a rookie quarterback, guess who they're going to be working with? Guess who they're going to be throwing the ball to? Guess who they're, like, you're going to need Malik Nabers to help make that rookie quarterback better. Moose is in Jamaica on the Fan. And
what it do?
Say that again. Hello? Yeah, sorry, Moose. I was listening to Fleeks. What'd you say? You just said hello.
Yo, what it do? Yeah. So, what's good?
You know, talking about the Giants.
I hear you. So, the thing about Malik Nabers, are you kidding me? Didn't you go over to a former high school or Pop Warner or middle school teammate you met at a college? You know what it is. What former teammates never.
Bro, if I saw... When I got to college, if I saw anyone I played in high school with that I even kind of knew, yo, what up? It's like a, I don't know, you get like a good feeling knowing
that. Yeah, it's a brotherhood.
Yo, this is, we're reunited on another level. Like, those two are lit. That's the number 2 and number 6 overall pick. And like I said, Jaden Daniels made Malik Nabers a lot of money and vice versa.
Honestly. I originally called about the Giants taking. You're right. The Giants may win 2 to 3 to 4.
Coming up.
Yeah, but as a fan who's trying to think about the future and kind of with the grinding, the losing to tank for a better quarterback, more talent, we kind of, as Giants fans, if you're on that tip, you kind of have to worry about the Raiders, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Panthers, all these other teams trying to win. So it's competitive to like, I don't even know. Like, jokes aside, it's kind
of
true.
I just went through the teams. I'm like, there's a lot of trash teams, but not all of them are going to be in the market to draft a quarterback. One, there's really only 3 other teams you got to really worry about being worse than, but they're not going to do that. Like, Daboll is going to try and win games. He's going to present, like not even present, but, like, he's going to go out there and do his job, which is to coach to win. You're going to get jobbed by the officials. There's going to be some stupid penalties. There's going to be some stupid plays. But all in all, Daboll is going to prepare the team every week to go out there and win. And if they lose, they lose. But he's not going to take on the tanking mentality. He can't.
Yeah, obviously, because he has to show for the sake of appearances and obviously for his own manhood not to go down and lose. But here's one other thing, and I'll hang up. About those other teams that do or don't need a quarterback, if we're 6 or 7 or 5 and we can't get Shedeur Sanders because he's off the board by 2 or 3, if not 1 overall, another team trades up with the Patriots because they may not win the game for the rest of the season. If we go for Ewers or the guy from Miami or whoever rises up the board, the stock goes up with the combine or whatever, we have to worry about possibly trading a first rounder in 2026, a third rounder in 2025, and probably Brendan Okereke to sweeten the deal. And that's too... We could have done the same thing for Jaden Daniels, but that would have set our organization back
They weren't going to do that. The Commanders weren't.
Yeah, they weren't, but, you know, we could have, hypothetically, but cooler heads prevail, saying you can't sacrifice the farm for one cow. But, you know, anyway, thanks for taking my call, Keith.
Thanks for the call. Bobby Okereke, I don't know why you would trade him, but sure, maybe you have to package a player in with the deal. When you look at tankathon.com right now, they have the Giants actually taking Will Campbell, offensive tackle from LSU. It makes sense. It's just crazy how many, I know that doesn't excite any Giants fan, because it's crazy how many offensive linemen they've taken over the years, and they always have problems with the offensive line. Always. But here are the quarterbacks that are going. I told you Tennessee might be in the market because Will Levis, I wouldn't be banking on Will Levis. Mason Rudolph is playing games for them right now. So they have Quinn Ewers going to the Tennessee Titans at 9. And this, it doesn't matter because this will be different, but just like the teams that they're pairing quarterbacks with. Cam Ward out of Miami, they have him actually going to Las Vegas to play for the Raiders. And the Raiders would do something like that. They have another potential Jamarcus Russell on their hands. And I don't mean to throw the kid under the bus like that. I think he's a talent, ridiculous arm talent, competitor. I think he's going to go there and work. But, like, it just scares me when you're looking at Anthony Richardson. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to lie. I was a little tired. You say what? You had to tap out? Not because you were in pain. Not because you physically couldn't go. Your endurance, your conditioning? Well, then you need to stay after practice and run gassers. You need to be running sprints after every practice. Find a coach that'll run with you. Somebody will run with you. Get your endurance up. Every play that you run in practice, run it out. Go follow the running back or receiver, run to the end zone, and come back to the huddle. That's crazy. Anyway, at 5, they do have the Browns taking a quarterback in Shedeur Sanders. Deion is not going for it. No. This is no chance. Deion's already in the cold of Colorado. There's no chance that he's going to be pulling up to Ohio, especially with the disaster that franchise has been. They're going to do everything for that to not happen. But now you're seeing the quarterbacks off the board. Those are the three quarterbacks that they have going off the board. Shedeur Sanders 1, Cam Ward 2, and then Quinn Ewers 3. And obviously you need to see the rest of this season play out. You need to see the combine or pro days, combine. You need to see all that shake out. But like, my message to the Giants, and I know they don't care what I say, the Hard Knocks opened up with Joe Shane pretending that he didn't even know that this is 101.9 FM as he's driving through New Jersey and probably on the highway with at least 5 or 10 other cars around him. Somebody's listening to WFAN. WFAN literally goes to camp and puts up a big-ass banner like WFAN there. The Giants need to continue to lose games, tank effectively, I call it, and be mindful this year of every game that you win and these other teams that could be like potentially looking for a quarterback, they don't win. That puts them in better position. You can't fool me again. You can't be picking like 6 again. 6 got you Daniel Jones some years ago. 6 got you Malik Nabers. You need to be a top 4 team to ensure that you can pick one of these quarterbacks, and I trust that Brian Daboll is going to watch film, and they're going to scout, and they're going to know which quarterback to take. 888-808-1019. Kevin is up in Maine on The Fan in New York.
Hey, Keith, what's going on? As usual, thank you for doing what you do, making what I do that much easier.
Yes, sir.
With that being said, tonight, I have a few things.
Okay.
A, I think the Giants are probably going to end up tapping into that Manning pipeline with Arch. I know it's not popular, but I just think that's what's going to happen.
He's not coming out this year.
But maybe next year, maybe we just have to go through one more year of pain. You know what I mean? I just kind of see that it's just like a premonition I had. Another couple premonitions I have is the Yankees really, we got to do what we got to do to get Juan Soto back. And I would honestly, after looking at a bunch of stuff and reading a bunch of stuff, I would like to see Anthony Rizzo come back just for the clubhouse guy that he is.
No.
It's cheap. On a cheap deal, hometown discount, whatever you want to call it. And I have one more wild, crazy.
Why are we going cheap? What? No. Their clubhouse, I don't care how what their culture was in their clubhouse. Look what happened on the field. None of that. No, Kevin. Change your mind on that. Rizzo's done.
I have one more wild, crazy thing to throw at you.
Okay.
Why won't the Yankees, if he wanted it, the guy, besides all the nonsense, is a great baseball mind, and I really think he would be great at the position that he would take. Why wouldn't we consider hiring A-Rod as our manager? Have a good night.
Thanks for the call, Kevin. Loopy on the late night. You hit me with three loops, bro. Arch Manning. Please just make me laugh with that. Arch Manning will go through another year of pain and losing and suffering and tanking in hopes of getting Arch Manning next year, not guaranteed. Anthony Rizzo. Let's get Anthony Rizzo on the cheap. Bring him back. He's a good clubhouse guy. No, he can't hit homers anymore. He doesn't have any pop. And like, nah, I need a guy that can field the ball and run to first base. He can't do that. Doesn't want to do that. It's over with. It should have been over with. And then A-Rod to manage the Yankees? Boone is the manager of these Yankees, one. And A-Rod is good doing what he's doing with Fox and making his money there and talking baseball there. Do you not remember the history with A-Rod and the things that went on and like, Fleegs is on it tonight. Nah, it's just not happening. It's not happening. 888-808-1019. No, A-Rod will not be managing the Yankees. Rizzo will not be playing for the Yankees. I don't know where he'll play. Maybe he'll go back to the Cubs for a year, then ride off into the North Side sunset. And yeah, you can't be thinking. The premonition you had, Kevin, about Arch Manning is that he's Eli's nephew. It's just there's no way to like force that to happen. And with the amount of losing that the Giants are going to do, like Giants fans got to be sick. I just know it. Those uniforms are dope. You know, they put the old school helmet out there, and it makes you think of those older times in the late 80s, early 90s. And then the team comes out there and they leave points off the board. There's penalties. There's just stupid decisions. And now the team that you used to beat all the time, the Commanders, you can't beat. Jaden Daniels sweeps you. And I think I heard there was a stat something like 50 years since the Giants have been swept by a rookie quarterback. And when you think about how many years the Giants have just been a laughingstock, doormat, that doesn't even feel right. Like, I remember, who was it that used to talk about, like, the New York football Giants? There was a quarterback. I watched something on this quarterback, and his dad used to always talk about the Giants as this, like, almighty team. And he used to say to him, well, you're not facing the New York football Giants. Like, I don't know. If you're older than 40 years old, you remember a time of the Giants being dominant. And, like, this long stretch of single-digit wins and you know, being the butt of a joke, it has to end. Stay down until you come up. Look at the Commanders. Look at the Commanders, yo. They, like, who saw this coming for the Commanders a couple years ago with Ron Rivera? You know, who saw? I know I certainly didn't. Another thing I wanted to add about, you know, the Giants, their defense has been good. Up front, they're good. But the secondary was a weakness. I remember saying the secondary was a weakness when we were overhyping Malik Nabers. I'm like, who is he going up against in practice? And the secondary is going to let you down, right? Adoree Jackson is back, and he was just at the crib waiting for the call because he knew. And guys like Tyler Newbin, he's a rookie. You know, they're gonna let you down. And Deontay Banks, he's a letdown. And I just knew going into this game that, like, he was going to have a rough go at it because he's a Maryland boy. And if you remember him going live last year when they beat the Commanders, he was taking shots at the Commanders for not drafting him. They drafted Emmanuel Forbes in the first round, a few picks ahead of Deontay Banks, so he took it personal. You know, being a Terrapin, being from the state, DMV, the Commanders, I mean, he's just, I don't know. That's a first-round pick. Not playing like a first-round pick. That's a first-round pick. Got Terry McLaurin doing the too small in the end zone. Not great. Not great, yeah. Emmanuel Forbes was not a good pick, but he was picked 17th by Washington. And Deonte Banks was picked 24th by the New York Giants. Maybe somewhere in his heart of hearts he wanted to go home and play for the Commanders. Now look at the Commanders, man. I don't know, man. It's crazy. It's crazy just how quickly the culture can shift. You get rid of Dan Snyder. There was a guy from Amazon comes in and buys the team. I don't even know what the Commanders owner. No, the Commanders owner is Josh Harris. Used to be in the Harris Wolf Blitzer group, right? Harris. Is it? It's not Wolf. It's Harris and Blitzer. Because they own the 76ers, and I think they own the Devils, too. Yeah, anyway. They come in, they scoop the team, they get a new head coach, they get a new quarterback, they're going to the playoffs this year. So these long-suffering Washington fans, they're on one now. They're hyped now. They're looking at their team like, how did this happen? It can happen for the Giants, too, but you guys know. The only way this is going to change is if you have the quarterback. Look at all the teams in the league, man. Once you find that quarterback, you build around that quarterback, and you really want to do it during their rookie contract. You really want to do it when they're somewhat cost-effective to stack around them. And Daniel Jones is not the guy. You're on your way to finding the guy potentially in this next draft. Let's go to Jersey City and talk to Ro on the Fan. What's up, Ro?
Mr. Keith, how are you, my friend?
I'm all right, hanging in there.
Listen, I have two things, a couple things, actually, but our line still stinks. Because Daniel Jones
every year
for his life.
Yeah.
And it starts right there. If you give Daniel Jones that time, I'm not condoning, you know, his mishaps, okay? But it was a couple of plays I'm watching, and I'm like, oh, my God, man. Duck, Daniel.
Yeah.
You can see it from a mile away.
That's why he's running, and that's why they're running the ball, because they know they can't protect a pass. Yeah.
Okay, now, second thing. You sticking, you know, Daniel Jones is gone, per se, next year. They got the quarterback they wanted, blah, 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 blah. This offensive line is still the same. So what is that young quarterback going to do?
The offensive line can't be the same next year.
But that's my whole point.
It might not be good, but they have to make an effort. We thought this offensive line was going to be good.
Better.
Right.
Than what it was.
You know? Runyon, Illuminor, Thomas coming back. I don't know what the hell is wrong with Evan Neal.
I don't know either. He's always hurt. As a big Giant fan. So now what I'm also saying is this, right? He's going to be a deer in headlights.
No, you can't do that to these young quarterbacks. Like,
and I get it. You watch Jaden Daniels from New Orleans. I watched the game yesterday, right?
Yes, he stands in the pocket, and he's straight up and down. He's not worried about a fly touching him.
He's sitting there picking his toenails.
Yeah, he's got time to deliver the ball, and he throws a pretty ball, and it's accurate. And I'm like, damn, this kid takes what he wants because he's got the time.
Okay, now, it goes back to coaching. Now, you put some of these so-called players that are not good on other teams, and say for instance, a genius like the Kansas City Chiefs. I can't think of his name right now.
Andy Reid,
right? He puts you in situations, mediocre players, in situations and make it look like all-stars.
Yeah, but I mean,
the play calling,
it's formation,
evolution of
it's misdirection.
Yes,
it's plug and play. Look at DeAndre Hopkins now. They couldn't get anything out of him in Tennessee. Now he's back because he's in the right system.
It's getting very predictable with
Dable.
Oh, my God, man. I'm looking at it. Oh, my God.
You're working with
defense also.
Yeah, you're working with a makeshift line.
Man.
I'm not making excuses for them because now this isn't the Gettleman era. Now these guys have been around long enough to draft and to sign free agents. This is their team that they put together.
Now, my thing is this. At the end of the day, you're still a professional. Act like one. Because if that was me and you on our job, woohoo, we'd be gone.
Yeah, that's the difference, though.
And I get it, you know, guaranteed contracts, this and that, all that, blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying, like, it hurts to be a Giant fan, but you know what? At the end of the day, just like, I'm a loyal Giant fan. I'm, you know, of course I'm not making any money out of this, but I'm just going to, I try to ride it out and take the you know, the good with the bad, but
it's sometimes tough.
You got to look, it's management, man.
Everything starts at the top, from the owner to the GM. I say it in everything.
The
restaurant that you like, whatever restaurant you go to that you like, they probably have somebody running the show that you've never seen, or maybe you saw them, but there's a reason why everything's like flowing so smoothly, and your service is good and the food is always good, because it starts at the top.
It starts at the top. And the last thing, of course, is the fact that I'm watching the Washington Giant game yesterday, and 1.5, 2 days ago, whatever. We were getting blown off the ball. Where's that? Right up the middle.
Yeah,
they were running down on us. I mean, running. I mean, like, ooh.
Running the ball on them too.
Oh my God!
I don't know. There's something to be said though. Like, that is preparedness. That is coaching. That is mentality. And that's why Brian Daboll's not going to tank. I've heard some of his post-game speeches and stuff. He talks about this being a confident group of young men, and like, that's what it's like. When they beat Seattle, like, that's what he was looking for, like that compete level.
He might not tank, but
some of the players start to go in the tank.
I'm disappointed in that cornerback. I'm really
Banks. He's too.
I'm watching him like he thinks
he's better than he is. He's too much about himself, and he's also too much of a social media guy. I think he reads too much social media, and he's on too much social media. That's why he went live when he did. Rode, thanks for the call, brother. 888-808-1019. Before we go to break here, I want to play the clip from Micah Parsons. Like I said, it's like, when will it end? When will the Giants, like 100 years of Giants, like, get back to the Giants' pride? Get back to winning. Get back to doing things where they're not a laughing stock and they're not the butt of every joke. So, like, you've got the Commanders in town with Jaden Daniels, who you missed out on, who the world saw you court him in Hard Knocks. Everybody heard your coach when asked about him. Would you trade up for Jaden Daniels? Yes, of course. Now you got to face him twice a year. He beat you his first two times out. You got to deal with that. Daniel Jones, who you signed to this contract, first half, people are laughing at him because he's got 0 yards, -8 yards, one touchdown. But he also had a better second half and a good game where you can't really put it on Daniel Jones. But still, you're stuck with Daniel Jones. And the narrative is that you paid Daniel Jones and you didn't pay Saquon. So here's Micah Parsons, who is out right now and should not be doing a podcast. But of course, it's another thing. This is this era. When we come back, I'm going to talk about how this era of social media, podcasts, all this stuff affects sports. And like, these general managers that didn't grow up with it, they got to consider it, know it, and think about it. Here's Micah Parsons on his podcast that he does on Bleacher Report, even while he's hurt and not playing. It's called The Edge with Micah Parsons. And he's talking about the Giants and Saquon Barkley. Go for it, Fleegs.
People could say this is vintage Saquon, but this was always who Saquon was. Since I've known him at Penn State until now, I knew this is what he was capable of. It was... Honestly, this is a blessing in disguise, because you for Saquon, this is a blessing in disguise, just off the strength of people are seeing what you're capable of when people appreciate you. The Giants did not appreciate him. And now the rest of the league is facing the consequences of the Giants' stupidity. This is always who he was. I don't want to say he lost his confidence, but he probably lost confidence in the system, the people that's blocking for him. I mean, what more can you say? The guy's been dynamic. He's been worth the money and more. Let's just say thank you to the Giants for their stupidity and what they accomplished in the last couple of years, because we're all facing it and we're about to face it this weekend. But this is always who Saquon's been. A confident back that can make any cut. His explosion, he's freaky on the football field. I mean,
all right, just because we're up against it, you can kill it here, and I'll speak on it before we go to the break. 888-808-1019. Micah Parsons and Saquon Barkley are two of the best players to come out of Penn State in the last 10 years. Maybe just period. Micah Parsons has been out with an ankle injury. He's missed the last few weeks. He's set to return this week in Dallas where they haven't won a home game and they're hosting the Philadelphia Eagles. He knows he's got to try and tackle this man. But it's crazy to think that you're in a division against the Giants where you will see them in 4 weeks. And you're talking like that about against the Giants, like they can't come and smack you and have something to say about it. It's kind of funny. But, yeah, as a Giants fan, you go from watching them lose to the Commanders and Jaden Daniels, who you missed out on, and then you cut on the late games and you got Saquon hurtling guys backwards, tearing it up for the Eagles. And, like, it's so clear that without that dynamic, like, the Eagles probably, like, they probably could lose that game to the Jaguars. Nick Sirianni will coach them into a loss. But, like, the dynamic that Saquon gives that offense, like, Jalen Hurts doesn't always impress me. But just the threat of Saquon, Devontae Smith is better. A.J. Brown went down in that game. Like, the Eagles just have so many ways that they can hurt you. And Saquon in that Kelly Green Eagles jersey doesn't make any damn sense. 888-808-1019. I mean, it does, though. Micah Parsons said it was a blessing in disguise. It's not a blessing in disguise. It's just a blessing. They literally did Saquon a favor. They said, you don't have to lose here with us. You can go get more money elsewhere and go hurdle guys backwards and be in a new Nike ad where they put witness backwards like how they were doing witness with LeBron. Keith McPherson on the Fan. My show is running out. 888-808-1019.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nine, call me up and we'll be right back.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Still here. All right, right back at it on the Fan. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, taking you till 2 a.m. C-Mac is in the bullpen warming up. He's ready to go. I'm sure he's going to talk all about Scott Boras and Brian Cashman and Garrett Cole and Yankee fans overreaction. Like, you see how, like, last week I was saying, Yankee fans, I love you, but some of y'all we can't claim. But it is what it is. I saw some wild takes from Yankee fans about Garrett Cole. I'm like, is that how you really feel? Or is this impacted by, like, the loss in the world? Like, just please stop. Stop. Well, we don't need Garrett Cole. Some of these takes, I'm like, do you guys not understand he's not going anywhere? This dude has a mansion in Greenwich, Connecticut. I was looking at it on TikTok. Then I Googled it some more, and I'm like, yeah, he's not going anywhere. He's got kids. He's got a beautiful wife. I saw his wife in Legends. She's a 10 out of 10. You can't not see her. Shout out to Amy Cole. They're not going anywhere. This was always the dream. He's living the dream. So, yeah, Yankee fans got to relax with that one. I think I saw Yankees Light put out there, you know, like the things with the void. I think it was, let's see, part two. Club void option. The club retains the right to void the player's opt-out by saying, nah, this discretionary right shall be exercisable solely by the club and will serve as an unequivocal indication of the club's intent to maintain the player's contractual obligations as originally agreed. Now, I think they made that up, but basically, like, people were laughing about, like, Brian Cashman told them both, no. Like, you're not going to hit free agency, right? You want to stay here? Yeah. And we're not going to tack on a 10th year, and we're just going to keep going as is. There were some conversations. I think John Boy started the conversation about deferred money. And again, I'm trying to tell everybody, like, just because Ohtani did this deferred money, stop thinking that other players or agents and, like, Scott Boras is not taking any deferred money. So for people even suggesting that for Juan Soto, it's not a real thing. Ohtani can do that, which, like, Ohtani is deferring money for when he's done playing in the United States, goes back to Japan, and he's still going to be cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching off the Dodgers. And you know what? The Dodgers are cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching off of him. Winning a World Series in his first year, they're good. They're good. They're happy with that $700 million and how that breaks down. 888-808-1019. We were talking about the Giants. We were talking about Juan Soto and those things, so we'll get back to it. 888-808-1019. I did my Juan Soto spiel. Like I told you, Juan Soto is trained, coached, all of that. Juan Soto was always going to say what he said when asked, whether he was in the Yankees clubhouse or the Padres clubhouse or whatever. I didn't like it, but I don't have to like it. The Yankees' plan A and probably plan B is to sign Juan Soto, and he will be the first big chip to fall. Scott Boras will not hold up the winter meetings and not hold up the offseason for other players. They will get this done. So it's fast approaching. In a month are the winter meetings. We're going to know. And I really do think that if all things are close to equal, not even equal, like if it's fairly close, the Yankees are going to have some stuff that you don't know about. They're going to have some deals that you don't know about. They're going to have some companies that are willing to throw endorsements that you don't know about that are going to swing this in favor of Juan Soto. And then it's going to be about legacy. It's going to be about, do you want to be the guy that was traded to the New York Yankees, who took a little bit more money to become a New York Met, or do you want to be the guy that stays a Yankee, and they'll talk about Monument Park, and they'll talk about playing with Judge, and they'll talk about winning a championship with this Yankees team, and going back-to-back World Series, and maybe beating the Dodgers, or maybe the Mets, or whoever it is, in 2025. 888-808-1019. Roger is in Princeton. Roger, you're on the Fan.
As much as I with you, just have a hate for Scott Boras, but I
yeah, I don't like the guy much either. He just, the way that he presents with
baseball,
his one-liners and how he's had this stronghold on so many players and teams, it's just corny.
The old man's still alive and running things. It's a possibility, but with Hal, I'm looking at, you know, that tips the scales so deep into one basket, and I'm thinking instead of paying in the battle to get Soto and tying up money and tying ourselves up, why not
and get five players for the same price? We you know,
not just five players. Eovaldi, bring him back into the Yankee fold. Go out and get
maybe
from the Dodgers. Take him off of their roster. Go out and get
Walker Buehler.
Bueller's a free agent.
I thought you said
love the way he pitched. He's got guile up the yin yang.
Yeah, he don't want to leave the Dodgers. In theory, the Yankees could spread that money out, but I think their plan A and B is to get Juan Soto, and if they feel like they're losing on Juan Soto, B is to push him forward. Thanks for the call, Roger. You said something about Hal that I just can't agree with. Right, if the old man is doing it, then it's a lock or it's a guarantee. With Hal, I don't know. When Hal wanted to get Judge done, he's on his yacht sailing the Amalfi Coast or something, and he calls Judge up and says, name your price. Judge just did an interview with Mookie Betts talking about how it went down. Hal told him, what's the number? There's no number you're going to say that I can't do. And on top of it, I'm going to make you the captain. So with Juan Soto, and I just told you how Juan Soto's family enjoyed this. You think Juan Soto and his dad and his mom, they haven't been around, and even Juan Soto's uncle, who we mistakenly thought was his dad years ago because he showed up to Yankee Stadium in a pinstripe jersey and hat. You think that, like, they don't want to stay? They want to stay, but they want to be paid, and I have no problem with that. I have no problem with that. The guy has earned it. He deserves it. And the Yankees want to be this mecca of baseball. They got to pay him. But I don't think, as many people that are saying he's just a money guy, as many people are saying he's going to the highest bidder no matter what, we don't know that. If it's close enough, I think the Yankees have a slight advantage because he was just here. He had his best season playing with Judge. He can get better in that short right field, right? In a couple years, he could be a plus defender out there. He wasn't that bad, but he left some plays that, you know, could have been better. He might want to be in Monument Park. He might want to be in that Yankee parade when they bring a World Series back to this city, which, like, don't be fooled. They failed this year. They could get back next year. And whether it's the Dodgers or anybody else, they could beat them. 888-808-1019. We'll see. These are the last 4 weeks. We've been doing this for the last 6-7 months. These are the last 4 weeks to speculate where Juan Soto is going to go. If the rumor is true that Steve Cohen will not be outbid, you know and I know he's going to have to spend a little bit more to make that Mets uniform more appealing than the Yankee pinstripes. And you could take that however you want to take that. That's just fact. When we're talking about brands, it's Nike versus Puma. It's a player choosing whether they're going to sign their sneaker deal with Nike versus Puma. Puma, you're going to have to give us access to the jet. Literally, Puma has a jet that they give them access to. You're going to have to pay us a little bit more. You're going to have to do a couple other things, or we're just going to go with Nike. 888-808-1019. Yeah, speaking of Nike, I said they put out a whole new witness advertisement with Saquon hurdling a guy backwards, which, like, I was watching that game, and if you were watching that game, I think he went to hurdle a defender before that play, if I remember correctly, which, like, when you're going to hurdle defenders, it's usually when you see a defender that's ducking his head or always going low and doesn't want to, you know, meet you straight on. So I think Saquon had it in his head, like, I can get over these guys. He didn't gain any extra yards. He didn't do anything, but he made a sick highlight and it made his rounds. And yeah, you got Tyrone Tracy, who's a second year running back or a rookie running back, who's talking about, you know, he hasn't played the position. He's been effective, but, like, where would Saquon fit on this Giants team? It must suck as a fan to be like, damn, that's the guy we drafted. That's the guy we've been rooting for the last X amount of years. He's an Eagle now, but ultimately, you shouldn't have paid him. You didn't pay him. And I don't think he'd be balling like this on the Giants. It'd be too easy for defenses to key on him. It's different in that Eagles offense. They got so many weapons. I don't know, man. For the Giants, they got to figure it out sooner rather than later. Maybe it starts in Germany, 9:30 a.m. our time, against the Carolina Panthers. Can't lose to the Carolina Panthers. You know why? Because the Saints just lost to the Carolina Panthers, and they fired their head coach. So what will that say about the Giants if the New Orleans Saints parted ways with Dennis Allen, and then the Giants go lose to the Panthers and say, no, our coach is safe. Safe. Let's go down to New Orleans. Glenn is down in the NO on the fan. What's up, Glenn? Sorry.
Yeah, kind of ironic, Keith, that you brought that up. But anyway, I'm not a big NFL fan, but I do follow my LSU guys. So I heard people up there are kind of getting on neighbors. I don't know what for, because I don't really
two
follow
things.
That closely.
Because he was too friendly, buddy-buddy, hugging and conversating with Jaden Daniels. And then also after the game, you know, people are taking it as a shot at the coach because he says, I don't call the plays, and then he kind of criticized how the plays were called. I'm not looking at it as a shot at the coach. I think that's a player answering the question and just being like, why are you asking me?
Yeah. And then also, I heard you mention that according to, I guess, some publication, that they've got the Giants picking Will Campbell from LSU. And Will Campbell, he's in his third year. You talk to any media person that covers LSU football, they'll tell you he's having his worst year of his 3-year career. Mm. He's false starting. Him and the other tackle, who's also a third-year player, Emory Jones, he's also considered a first to early second
buyer
round.
Beware. Yeah. The Giants do not need any undisciplined offensive linemen joining this offensive line.
Both of them have had the same problems this year, like read the press clippings. So, yeah, always have to watch that. You're right. Buyer beware. Anyway, Keith, you know I'm always listening, especially to the baseball talk.
Yes, sir. Appreciate
Have
you, Glenn.
Have a good night.
Yeah, it wasn't ironic that I mentioned that. It was my way of bringing it back around. You know? I went from talking about Nike and Puma with the Mets and the Yankees to the Nike ad that they put out with Saquon, which brought me back to the Giants to get back to the call. And before I went back to the call from New Orleans, I talked about the Giants not being able to survive losing to the Panthers because New Orleans head coach couldn't survive losing to the Panthers. Yeah, just trying to let you in. You're in my sports mind listening to my show. I'm letting you know how I brought that around and bring it around town. Last call goes to Ernest in Norwalk, Connecticut.
Hello, how are you doing? This is my first time calling you. I'm always listening to you. You always, seem like a wise guy. So,
thanks. Thanks for calling.
I just want to ask a question. How would Ben McAdoo doing? Remember the Giants coach Ben McAdoo?
Of course I do. Ben McAdoo, was he with the Panthers?
I thought he went back to New England.
He's in New England.
Yeah, he went back.
But he was with the Panthers in 2022. So yes.
Oh, okay. All right. What about Pat Shurmur?
Pat Shurmur's actually in Colorado. He's the offensive coordinator with Deion Sanders and his son.
Okay, so he's there. Somebody told me that they're going to hire Pat Shurmur as the head coach, and not as the head coach, but as the GM, and that he was going to hire McAdoo as his offensive coordinator.
For where?
No, I'm just making that up. I'm making that up. I'm just like, saying that.
We're talking about a guy that's in college right now, another guy who's an assistant right now. They're about to be head coach. Where?
No, but I was just making that up because that's what Daniel Jones had.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones, that was what was developing him. Daniel Jones never been able to develop because they had all these bad coaches. And people say, well, it's an excuse. It's not an excuse. It's a fact that he had those two head coaches. He had bad offensive linemen. That he never had a real wide receiver and stuff until now. And so, that the fumble that he had, okay, he was turning simultaneously, and the guy was on him. I didn't think he thought that this guy was going to be on him that fast. Okay,
yeah, but
fumbled.
It's his job to know that.
But you're right. But it happens.
Yeah, it happens. But you got to protect the ball in the NFL especially when you're close to scoring and it's first down. I don't know. To me, for a 6-year quarterback, that's inexcusable to take a hit like that and just throw the ball away. You're going to get hit anyway. Hold the ball.
But don't they get these strips? When they get these strip fumbles, when they get hit, when they get hit from behind, the guy fumbles. Doesn't that happen all over the league?
It does. What I'm saying is that you knew that DN was one on one with Chris Hubbard, the new left tackle, right? You also knew the screen was going that way. You have one guy that you got to essentially throw that ball over or be aware of. It looked like Daniel Jones was selling the fake to the right, looking to the right, and then as soon as he felt pressure, just flipped the ball. It was nowhere near Singletary. It was right at a guy who just didn't have hands to catch it. It's just a terrible looking play for an NFL quarterback this deep into his career.
I agree with you. I agree, but I'm just saying that the guy was right on him. I didn't think he thought that the minute, if you look at the play, because I watched all of
I know,
the
Ernest. I watched too, and I'm saying they were set and the ball got snapped. So, like, you got to know that guy is coming. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Guy didn't just start there. They were set, and you got to read the defense. They had two tight ends to the right. It was strong to the right. So, of course, the defense was over there. You have one guy to worry about. He cleanly beat Hubbard. I don't know what Hubbard was doing, but you can't. That's not an excuse to literally give the defense the ball. That swung the points in the game right away.
Right. But I'm just saying, okay, now you are right about that. You're right. You're 100% right. But I'm just saying, he made a mistake. Even though he's been there for 6 years, they make mistakes.
Thanks for the call, Ernest. See, you Giants fan, is it Stockholm Syndrome? There's some type of phrase for it. You Giants fans have been forced to watch Daniel Jones so long, you can't do anything else but take up for him. He made a mistake. How many mistakes is he allowed to make? Guys get benched forever off of certain mistakes. Like, I feel for y'all, man. It's almost over. In a few weeks, they'll lose enough games and they'll realize, hey, it ain't worth running Daniel Jones out there. He might get hurt. And then Tommy Cutlets will be back. C-Mac is back. He's coming up next. I'll be back at 7 p.m. Thanks for listening. Keith McPherson out of here. Bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN, New York.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.